Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
No trouble at all, Ruby.
Now, why are the words in relation to the pandemic, such as isolation and quarantine, kind of repurposed?
You mean the kind of these shortened forms that we're coming up with?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, well, one argument for that is just to make them seem a little bit less scary. What they're called often is hypercheristics, and we do a lot of that in Australia, is shortening terms and making them come across as being a bit more friendly. So, you know, words like mozzie and so on. It's a very hypercheristics actually means it's almost like childlike language. So it's making these quite serious things come across as being a bit less imposing.
Yeah, right. And how do you think COVID-19's kind of influenced language overall this year?
Oh, well, there's been a huge burst of invention of words, as well as kind of bringing it into the public forum, words that we don't normally see. So you get also all this talk about kind of scientific terms. So talking about flattening the curve, it's talking about quantifying the number of cases. But you also get words like the word fomites come up a bit, which is actually an old term. It's the substance that actually where the pathogens can linger, and you can actually catch infections via those as well. So that's been talked about a fair bit, and it's been around a long time, that word, but it's not really been in the public discourse before.
Yeah, right. Now, kind of a personal question: which word do you think might make it into the Word of the Year finale?
Well, I think they've already announced the panel selections, haven't they? So they, as you said, they've gone for words like ISO and Rona. I personally like fun words like quarantini, which is a cocktail that you have while you're in quarantine. So I think, yeah, the people's votes are going to really bring out the ones that are, I think, fun and playful. That's what often happens.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I feel like Australia kind of has a way of, I guess, messing with the vocabulary a bit. Stuff's kind of just shortened a lot more. Do you think in the event where, like, I guess another potential threat will arise, there'll be a kind of a new kind of vocabulary for that next one?
I think any times of crisis, particularly kind of international crisis, and English is obviously spoken all the world over, and different words, different terms come up in different parts of the world. But yeah, they create pockets of language, of creation, just to talk about the new experiences that people are having to deal with. So yes, if it happens again, I'm sure that different kinds of terms will come up. But if it's a similar kind of pandemic, then the same ones might get kind of reinforced in the language, so that they continue for longer. Like a word like quarantine, which has been around in English since the 16th or 17th century.
Right. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It's been really great to chat about this.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.